Morning. How are you? Good enough. That's how good is good enough. All right, why don't we pray, and then we will read our Bibles together. God, we come to you today, and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. And in this moment, most of all, we thank you because when we read your word, you speak to us. So God, I pray that you would touch our minds and touch our hearts, help us to think and feel what you would have us think and feel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today we wrap up a little mini-series that we've been doing in the book of Matthew. Creatively, we called it the Beatitudes. Thought that was a pretty original title, actually. That's the name of the series of teachings that Jesus gave. First reading, if you remember the beginning, you look at them and they kind of look, well, just like a hodgepodge of different sayings that Jesus just, you know, one after another said. Here's a person who is blessed, and here's another kind of person who's blessed, and here's another kind of person who's blessed or happy or fortunate. But as we've looked at them, what we've seen is that it's a sequence. This is what it looks like, step by step, to be on a path that where God is changing your heart and making you more and more like Jesus and know him better. And so we've been seeing this sequence progress. We've gotten today to the last one, and this is actually the inevitable one. This is the one that more happens to you rather than you decide to do. It's the one, and as we'll see, that okay, if you let God change you, if you let God show you your wickedness and you mourn over that, and then you desire God and you try to be like Jesus and you be a person who brings peace and you be merciful, all the things that Jesus said prior to this, the more that you let God work those in you, the more God changes you, this last one happens to you. It's you'll be persecuted. You'll be mistreated. It's something that happens to you. It's an inevitable cause or effect of doing all the other ones, of being more like Jesus and getting closer to God. And if any of these were counterintuitive, and we said from the beginning that Jesus says, blessed is a person who, and then he's going to say something for each one that kind of is counterintuitive. It doesn't really make sense. It's not what we would naturally assume is this is a blessed person. This is the most counterintuitive of all eight. This is the one with the other ones that kind of made sense, that yeah, this would be a blessed or a happy person. This one makes no sense. You read this one and you say, blessed is the person who is persecuted. That's not what I would expect a blessed or a happy person to be like. And the root of this being so counterintuitive in us is that we go to Jesus because we want our lives to be better. We want to be happier. We want to be happy, and we want to be comfortable. And we think that just by our nature, that anything in my life that is making me uncomfortable or unhappy, any difficulty, is a sign that I'm on the wrong path somehow. Things aren't going right. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. If things are not feeling right, if I don't feel good about it, then it's not working out. Something needs to change. And we go to God and say, would you change this difficulty? And when he doesn't, we complain about it, and we get disillusioned with him, and we move away from God. And this teaching is going to show us what Jesus is going to tell us in verse 10, 11, and 12 of Matthew 5, is that our expectation of what we expect when we follow Jesus, that it will be a more comfortable, happy existence, is actually the opposite. But at the end of it, we see that we are actually more blessed and more happy in spite of being less comfortable. So let's get started reading. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. You'll notice all the other ones have been a one verse, just a one phrase. This one gets three verses. I'm guessing because it's so counterintuitive and just doesn't make sense. There's a lot more explanation that has to happen. In verse 10, the big idea that I see in this is happy are those who are persecuted. So look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pick that apart a little bit. First, blessed or happy. or fortunate. Blessed are those. We are happy, Jesus says. We are blessed when we are persecuted. And this becomes very immediately, very counterintuitive, because he's not saying happy are you when they stop persecuting you. Happy are you when people treat you well, not when you've been treated bad and now you're being treated better. Now you're happy. That's not what he's saying. He's saying happy are you when you're mistreated. He's not saying happy are you when the people who treated you poorly get their due. I'm happy when that happens. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying happy are you when you're mistreated, when you're persecuted. Very counterintuitive, the opposite of what you would expect. You read it and you almost start thinking, that has to be a misprint, bad translation, something's wrong. I don't think Jesus really meant that. Blessed are those who are persecuted. So stop on that word persecuted. Persecution is not just bad things happen to you. You're in a car accident, and it's when someone comes after you. It's the whole idea of you're being pursued, you're being persecuted. Someone comes after you and they're coming after you to do you harm, whether it's physical harm or emotional harm or economic harm or harm in your ministry or harm in your relational life, in your family, or coming after you to do you harm. Happy are you when that happens. Blessed are you when that happens. Have you been persecuted? And we see, we think persecuted for Christ, that means my head will be chopped off or I'll be put in a jail cell. And sometimes in some parts of the world, many times that is the reality for people, not so much here. So we have to think, okay, what does persecution look like in our context for us? Have you been persecuted for righteousness' sake? Blessed are you when you are, happy are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What's that? That's because of your relationship with Jesus, because of what you believe and because of what you do. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, when someone comes after you to do you harm because of what you believe, because of who you are, because of your relationship with Jesus. This is not, let's just define what it's not. Being persecuted is not when bad things happen to you or people do you harm because you've done something bad. You've offended someone and then they snap back at you. You're not being persecuted. Should they snap back at you? No, they should lovingly forgive you. But still, it's not persecution. It's not when you insult someone and they insult you. It's not when you goad someone. A while back, I kind of goaded someone. I was smiling. It was a nice goad, but I knew it would get under this person's skin. And confessing too much today. And he got mad at me. He got angry. He was an older gentleman. He wanted to fight with me. I didn't deserve that. But I wasn't being persecuted. I had to repent of goading him in a, kind of sarcastic, smiley way. But I wasn't being persecuted. It's not when you attack someone and they attack you back. It's not when you break a law and then you're punished for it. It's not when you mistreat someone and then you're mistreated. That's not persecution. And persecution, listen, is not when you are confronted for your sin. When you come to me and say, Philip, you need to change. You're not doing what you should be doing. And I don't like that. And I don't feel good about it. You're correcting me. And I'm not happy about it. I'm not being persecuted by you. Persecution is not when someone corrects you for your sin. Persecution in Jesus, what Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because you follow Jesus and because you are trying to help other people follow him. And then what does he say? Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's saying your persecution for being Christ's follower is a sign of the kingdom. It's a sign that you're part of the kingdom. How is it a sign of the kingdom? Well, it's as much a reward as it is to be expected if you're part of the kingdom. It's a reward for being part of the kingdom, and it's what's to be expected if you're part of the kingdom. It's a reward for persevering through persecution. Flip over to Matthew 10. I'm going to say flip over a few times. I've copied the verses into my notes, so that's why I won't be flipping, but You can flip. Matthew 10, verse 22, and you will be hated. This is Jesus talking to his followers again. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because as you're persecuted for being Christ's follower, you receive your reward in the kingdom. And it's also what's expected. Being persecuted is what's to be expected as if you are part of the kingdom. Look a little bit farther in Matthew 10, verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Now, just to give you the context, we'll get to this part of the Bible of Matthew maybe in 2 or 3 years, so it'll be fresh when we get there. Give you the little context. Jesus is talking about being persecuted, and then he's saying, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. In this example, he's the teacher, he's the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant to be like his master. If they have called the master of the hells Beelzebub, that's Satan, how much more will they malign those of his household? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if Jesus was persecuted and you're his follower and you're part of his kingdom, that's just expected. It's a reward if you're part of the kingdom. It's also what's expected if you're part of the kingdom. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then look down at verse 11. Again, this is the only one in this whole list of teachings where Jesus repeats himself. He says the same thing over again. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Basically the same thing he just says. Why does he emphasize it again? Why does he say it again? It has to be because of how counterintuitive it is. You're blessed, you're happy when you're persecuted because you're a Christian, because you follow Jesus. That can't be true. Well, let me say it again just to make sure you understand. It's really true. Happy are you. He emphasizes that we're blessed, we're fortunate, we're happy when we go through difficult situations because people are coming after us to do us harm because we are Christians. He's saying believe it. Believe that you're happy, you're blessed. Why? He said righteousness' sake in the first one. Look at the second one. On my account, because of Jesus, because we follow Jesus, because we talk about Jesus, because you imitate Jesus, because you want other people to imitate Jesus. Blessed are you when you're persecuted because of that. And then he gets more specific with what it means to be persecuted. When they revile you and persecute you, when they become your enemy, when they take it personally and go after you, when you're challenged and when you're looked down on and when you're attacked both physically or in your life. And then he says, when they utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. That's direct insults. That's when you're insulted directly. That's when you're maligned or slandered before other people. You're not even there to defend yourself. That's when lies are told about you or secrets that you've shared with someone else in private, you confess, and then it's broadcast in a way to do you damage. It's when people blame you and they talk bad about you and they talk bad about you as a person and your ministry and your faith and you're maligned to your face and before other people. Blessed are you when that happens. And look at what Jesus says then. Blessed are you when. Don't skip over that word when. That's the inevitable part. If you follow Jesus, if you imitate Jesus, if you guide other people to imitate Jesus, if you give your life to be like Jesus and help other people be like Jesus, he's saying this will happen. And that's not reading too much into it. Look at 2 Timothy 3:12. Paul says it even more clearly. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, what? Will be persecuted. Not an optional part of being a Christ follower. It will happen. It's happened in all times since Jesus came. And it will happen to us and does happen to us. So you ask yourself, okay, why does that happen? Why is it inevitable? Why is it inevitable that if you follow Jesus, and if you try to imitate Jesus, and if you try to help other people follow Jesus, that you will be persecuted, that people will come after you to do you damage, to do you harm, that you'll talk about it, you'll lose friends, that people that were once your friends will become your enemies? Why does that happen? What causes that? In a nutshell, it's because nobody likes to hear you need to change. Even me saying that and kind of pointing my fingers, you're like, I'm not talking to you. But we don't like that, right? You need to change. I don't like to hear that. You don't like to hear that. No one likes to hear that. But isn't that the message? Isn't that the message, the message of Christ? It's you need to change. You're mistaken. You're going down the wrong path. You need to change. That's the gospel, right? How does the gospel start? We're made in God's image to reflect His glory, and we've what? We've rebelled against Him. We don't reflect His image. We have to submit ourselves to Him. It's what the decision is. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. What is repentance? It's making a heart and mind decision that I'm wrong. I'm going down the wrong path. I'm rebelling against God, and it's deciding that I'm going to change. That's the decision that Christ calls us to and we call others to. You have to change. That's the heart of the message. It's the Great Commission, right? Go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. As you teach someone to follow Jesus, you're saying what? You have to change. Stop being the way you are and start being more like Jesus. And baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When someone is baptized, they're making a decision that for the rest of their life, they will change. And then teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, that's a lifetime of saying, you need to change. I need to change. You need to tell me that I need to change. If we're Christians, we are a community of people who tell each other, hey, you need to change that. And you tell me, you need to change that. We're a people who tell each other over and over and over again, you need to be more like Jesus in this part of your life. And you tell me that, I tell you that. It's constantly saying, you need to change. So if you teach that, and if you live that, you're always telling people, and you're always being told, you need to change. That's the message. Is the message hope? Of course it is. It's hope that God has chosen you, and He'll transform you, and He'll make you be born again, and He'll make you new, and He'll save you, and He'll adopt you, and He'll put you in His family, and He loves you. But the message also is you have to change. You have to give yourself to God. You have to repent. You have to stop being your own boss. You have to submit yourself to Jesus, and no one likes to be told you have to change. And so if you follow Jesus, you're constantly confronting people, and you're being confronted as well, but you're constantly confronting people with the fact that they need to change. How do you do that? Well, there's three different ways that if you're following Jesus, you're always confronting people. One, you're teaching people who haven't made their decision to follow Jesus. So the people that are around you in your family and your work and the people who live around you, you're telling them, you're using your words, and as God gives you opportunity, you're saying, we need to study the Bible. Why? Well, because you need to change. You say it different than that, but that's the heart of the message, right? You're telling people you need to make a decision to follow Jesus. You need to repent and be baptized. You need to give yourself to God. You are under the wrath of God. No one likes to hear that. You are God's enemy. You live in rebellion against God. You need to make a 180-degree turn and turn back to God. You need to change. You say those words. You're also confronting people just by the way that you live. If you're seeking to follow Jesus in your life, then you're letting God change you. And so what are you doing? You're stopping doing things, that doesn't make sense, but you know what I'm saying. You're not doing things that you used to do that other people do, and you, well, why don't you do that? Why don't you gossip with me anymore? Well, I don't want to. That's not right. I'm trying to follow Jesus. Why don't we get drunk together anymore? Why don't we talk about, you know, different people of, you know, different genders walking by in front of us in the way we used to? Why don't we do this or that or the other that we used to do? And, well, I don't do that anymore. I'm following Jesus. I'm still your friend. I'm not judging you. But you know what? Just by being different, you're passing judgment. Just by being different, if you and I gossiped about everybody at work before, we worked together, we don't. But if we worked together and we gossip about everybody at work, and now I don't do that anymore. Just the fact that I'm not doing it anymore, you feel judged. I'm telling you, without even saying anything, I think you're wrong. I'm not even thinking that. But the fact that you live differently is a judgment against everyone else without even saying anything. That's another way you confront people. Another way you confront people is is that not only do you tell non-Christians you need to change, if you're a Christian following Jesus, you tell Christians, other Christians, you need to change. I love you. You're my brother. I know you. And the way that you speak to your wife, that's sinful. The way you yell at your kids, that's sinful. The way, have you been reading your Bible? No. Man, you need to change. And it's not just me telling you that, it's you telling me that. We tell each other that. That's another way that we confront people. And because our message is you need to change and I need to change, and because we confront people with our lives and our words, then persecution comes out of people's reaction to the message you need to change. Some people accept sometimes. Sometimes, if you're a Christian, you accepted and you repented. And if you're not hardened in your heart, as God tells you through other people and through His Word that you need to change, you receive that. But many times we don't listen, we don't repent, we don't make decisions and change. Many times, how do we react when we hear you need to change? Our chest kind of comes out, and we pridefully we react out of pride. We say, "Who are you to tell me?" Why? Because I want to keep being my own boss. I made my decision. I'm a Christian. I've kind of cleaned things up. Things are good. Now stay out of my life. I don't need you to tell me what I need to do. Things are going fine for me. And I cross my arms and I puff my chest up and I say, I'm the boss of me. And so I say no. I say maybe I'll change later. I justify what I don't want to change. And then many times we attack the person who's telling us with their words or just with their life, that you need to change. We attack that person. That's persecution. We make fun of them. We avoid them. We ignore them. We exclude them. We talk bad about them. We say we lie about them. We separate ourselves from them. We get angry at them. There are enemies now. If you spend enough time following Jesus and helping other people follow Him, you will be persecuted because you will be telling people with your life and with your words, I love you and you need to change. So how do we react to that persecution? Look at verse 12. It's inevitable you'll be persecuted. So how do we react? Normally when I'm persecuted, it's because I'm, not always, but normally it's because I love someone. I want the best for them. And so I try to, as lovingly as I can, say, you need to change. And then, when they react badly to me, I'm shocked. Honestly, it's like, what? I'm not saying that because I don't like you. I'm saying that because I love you. I'm saying that, tell me something, okay? Then we'll be even. But let's show we love each other and tell each other something we need to change. And you're my enemy now? You don't talk to me anymore? What's that? I feel bad about it. I get depressed on the inside. It's not right. I go around looking for people to say, oh, poor you. I shouldn't be being persecuted. You're the one who's wrong. And then I kind of get, you know, my pride kind of flares up. And then I want to attack that person. I want to defend myself. I want to tell everybody else, no, the real reason that they're treating me bad is because I told them they needed to change that. I want everybody else to know what's really going on. I want to defend myself. I want them to be the ones who feel bad. I'll talk about them then because it's not right. I shouldn't be being persecuted. I love them. Look at what Jesus says in verse 12. When you're persecuted, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We should react with joy. We should react with happiness. Instead of reacting in surprise and feeling bad and attacking and defending ourselves and talking bad about the other person, we should, instead of even reacting neutrally, sometimes when I'm being persecuted, the best response I can muster up is a neutral response. I'm just not going to feel anything. I'm not going to say anything bad about you, but I don't feel good about this. But Jesus says, don't just stop at neutral. Don't be at a neutral response. Be happy about it. When you're persecuted because of me, because you're like trying to live like me and you're helping other people live like me, you should be happy about that. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Peter and John were just beaten. They were berated verbally And then they were beaten. And then look at what they did. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. What name? The name of Jesus. They rejoiced. Jesus says, that should be your reaction. Well, why should we react that way? He tells us. Why? Because great is our reward in heaven. He's saying, God rewards you when you're persecuted. It's like the more that you are like me, and the more you help other people be like me, the more you're going to be persecuted, and the more that you're persecuted, the more that eternal reward is being stored up for you. Look again, look at Matthew 10, verse 32-33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. We're storing up reward as we are persecuted. For their great is their reward in heaven. Look over at Acts chapter 7. The end of the story of Stephen, one of the early Christians. He's about to be stoned with rocks. Acts 7, verse 51. This is what he says to the people that he's confronting. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You received the laws delivered by angels and did not keep it. So, you know, very directly, you need to change. And then, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. And look at, last thing he saw on earth, other than the rocks flying towards his head, were the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So he's about to be killed. Because he's representing Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, and he's being persecuted. Great is your reward in heaven. Jesus, sitting on the throne next to his Father, stands up, opens up heaven. Peter sees him, and there's something between Jesus and Stephen. Jesus is standing up, watching what's happening to his servant. Great is your reward in heaven when you are persecuted. When you are persecuted for my name's sake, it does not go unnoticed. It is noticed. And then he says, the last part of verse 12, he says, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Why should you rejoice? Great is your reward in heaven. Why should you rejoice when you're persecuted? Because you're part of this incredible legacy of people who talked about God, who followed God and were persecuted for it. You're part of that legacy. You're part of this incredible group of people who told other people about God, who confronted people on behalf of God, and they were persecuted. They were killed. They were talked bad about. They were thrown into holes in the ground. They were outcasts. They lived in caves. You're part of that. Why? Because they confronted and called people to repent. And when you're persecuted because you're a Christian, when you're treated badly because you call people to change, you're part of that legacy. You're part of that group. That's why you should be happy. And then, why should we be happy? I'm going to give you one more reason that Jesus doesn't say, but I think it's safe to say, because it's because Jesus inspires us to be persecuted. The very one who said these words, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake, was persecuted throughout his whole life. And then at the end of his life, he experienced the most dramatic, the most painful persecution that anyone could experience when he was murdered on the cross. His example should inspire us, because we are following in our Savior's legacy and his footsteps when we talk about him and are persecuted for doing so. So, if blessed are those who suffer persecution for justice, for righteousness, for Jesus' sake, what should we do? We should suffer with Jesus. We should suffer for Jesus. We should suffer like Jesus. What does that look like in our lives? There's four different ways that you could suffer with Jesus. One is, If you still haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, it may be one of the reasons why you haven't decided to repent and be baptized and give yourself to Jesus is because you know what other people will say, people you love, family members. You think, okay, if I get baptized, then what am I saying about them? Am I saying that they're not right with God? And you think about that and you say, oh, that's just, I don't want to go there. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake, including when you put Christ on in baptism, when you repent and are baptized and make your decision to follow Jesus. Suffer with Jesus. Be persecuted for him. When you're baptized and your family members say, oh, so are we all going to hell now because you're better than us? Because you're... Suffer with Jesus. Make your decision to follow him. Repent and be baptized and give yourself to Christ. In this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. You'll be supported, and you also can expect persecution, hopefully not from this community, from outside. If you haven't made that decision, what's keeping you from doing that? Another way that we suffer with Christ, like Christ, maybe in your case you say, you know, this message has no application to my life. I'm a Christian. Persecution is like the farthest thing from my experience. No one ever dislikes me or talks bad about me, or I haven't lost any friends because I'm a Christian. I don't experience this. I don't think this is like real world. That must have been like back in Jesus' day. Jesus said, no, he said, when? It's inevitable. So when you and I are not experiencing persecution, we need to ask ourselves, okay, not in a guilty way, not in a condemning way, but why am I not deserving persecution? Maybe I'm not talking about Jesus. Maybe I'm not imitating Jesus. Maybe I'm not representing Jesus in a way that I look different. Not in a weird way, but in a Christ-like way. Maybe I'm not talking about Jesus to the people around me. Maybe I'm not confronting people. I need to be like Jesus. And if I'm not being persecuted at all, I shouldn't look for persecution, but I should be blessed by being persecuted because I live differently, because I talk about Jesus. What can you do in your life if you're not experiencing persecution? To live your faith more publicly, to talk about Jesus more actively. Don't look for persecution, but the more you live like Jesus publicly and talk about him, it will find you and you'll be blessed. Maybe in your case, you've been thinking about doing something or talking to someone or asking someone for a study or stopping something that you know what they're going to say and what they're going to think, and it's just like, oh, that's going to be so uncomfortable. I don't know if I should do that. Hear what Jesus says. Be blessed. Do it. Let the persecution find you because you're following him. And maybe, this is the last one, maybe right now you've been listening to this and this has been very meaningful to you because you right now are being persecuted because of your faith. You're experiencing this. And so you've been listening to this and saying, I needed to hear that today. Let me just encourage you. Keep doing what you're doing. And listen. Listen, don't run away from the persecution. Run towards Jesus. Run towards acting like him and talking about him. Press into that and live with the joy and happiness that comes from being persecuted because you are like Jesus. You're part of an incredible legacy of people who were persecuted for righteousness. Why don't we stand? We'll pray and then we'll sing to Jesus. God, we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. Thank you because you take even what is negative that comes from following you, even the negative, and you turn that into a blessing for your children. You turn that into a source of joy and happiness and eternal reward. So God, I pray that you would help us to be a bolder, courageous people who actively try to live like you. And actively talk about you. And when persecution comes, that we would be happy because great is our reward in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.